Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Jay Horowitz here with a very special edition of Amazing Mental Unlike Podcast. Todd Ziel, Al Leiter, John Franco. Engine 55, 21 years after 9/11. What does it mean to be sitting here with a firehouse and the uniforms behind you? You know, reflect a little bit. Todd, start with you.
Look, it never gets old, Jay. And first of all, thank you for continuing to, push this as an initiative and something that's important to us, obviously, but I think important from the Mets standpoint, too. But we love coming and seeing the guys. A lot of great stories that we hear, the inspiration for why they became firefighters. It obviously reflect back on what that time was like when we were playing in this city and experienced 9/11. And I think, speaking for myself, but probably for a lot of the guys that were around, that was the most important part of our baseball career. Baseball was a vehicle for us to be able to have an experience that transcended baseball. So it's still very important for me, at least personally, to try to find a way to be involved.
Mr. Al?
What did you ask again?
I forget.
All right, so you're awesome, and what you've done via through the Mets and all of the charity initiatives that made it easy for us to go out in the community and do the things that we do extra that's outside of a baseball player, really, really appreciative of what you've done. So
well,
I'll dovetail
let me
off
stop
of
you
top.
A second. I've been
Wait,
blessed.
Wait, you just interrupt. I didn't interrupt you.
But 42 years I've been here. I won a World Series. No, I didn't win a World Series. I got a ring. But for me, being a part of the 2001 team was the highlight of my career because of what you guys did. We gave back as a group. So it wasn't...
You made it easy.
Well, I know, but I had easy guys to work with.
And starting with Johnny. So I'm glad Johnny's going to follow here. But I think it's important because... And I know we've done these interviews for, 21 years
21
now.
21 years.
We were so close to not only just being in New York as a New York Met and what happened that day, as a lot of other people were, but as a result of what took place at Shea Stadium, the staging area, and other things that were part of the rescue and the rebuild, right? So because it was so close, I felt it was such an easy thing for us to do something to give back. And by continuing that now for 21 years, we were there at Ground Zero, days after when it happened, just talking to a few of the firefighters. You know, it felt a little awkward initially because I felt like we were in the way, but we knew what it meant to the guys, so it was important. But we have to keep it, we have to keep this alive. Talking to a few of the firefighters that were 8, 10, 11 years old during 9/11, like for them to understand what it meant and to keep the legacy of these heroes on forever. And I'm not. Those aren't just words. I really mean that. So when you ask, you know, for me to come by, and I'm local, and I know Todd's with SMY, and Johnny's New York and New York, like that's it's such an easy yes to want to be part of something that should never be forgotten.
Jonathan,
well, just to piggyback off of them, you know, what you've done over the last 20 years, 21 years to keep us going to firehouse here, firehouse there, dinners, whatever it is, we enjoy doing it. We want to do it, and we will continue to do it as long as you know. I was born and raised here, so this was when this attack hit. It hit home for me. So whatever I can do to help, I try to do it. But when you have teammates like this and the other guys, the whole organization came together and did what we had to do. We put a small band-aid on a big wound for a little while to make them forget to watch a ball game, but. We enjoy doing it, and we enjoy coming out and seeing a lot of the firefighters who are Met fans now, a lot of them who are kids, and now they're firefighters. So it's great to see the tradition, and it's great to see the organization keep carrying on year after year.
You say something?
And I would like to see it not just for the guys that were there, us and you, but I'd like to see it with this to be a forever thing, with present day, whether it's Mets or the Yankees or the Rangers or whoever it is, to inspire and to tell the story, right? Because that's the only way that you keep the legacy alive. So I think it's important that even the present day celebrity is still part of this, because that's what really keeps it going and keeps it in the forefront, at least with respect to honoring these
you guys remember the first firehouse we visited was right next to Ground Zero. I think it was knocked down. It was nothing.
No,
was
it was at I think
Ladder 10, right?
Ladder 10. I think it was House 10, Ladder 10. Ladder 10. Liberty Street, I think it was there, right?
Yeah, I'm there every day because the SNY Studios, I mean, I'm fortunate. I live a block from the towers, and SNY is on the 50th floor of 4 World Trade. So I look down at the pools every day, and I walk by Ladder 10 on the way into the studio every day. And I remember going on the roof. Remember we went on the roof of there, and we could look down into, and you could feel the heat and see the steam, and just something that I'll never forget. And just the fact that we were talking about that, we felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to be invasive. Why are we doing this now? This may be too soon. And then as soon as some of the guys saw the hats we brought and some of the things that just reminded them of something different than they had been focusing on for the last, 24 hours a day for the last 5 days, we were like, okay, this is okay. And I'll never forget going on the roof of Ladder 10, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, one of the things I'm most proud of is when we started to wear the hats, yeah. And there was some pressure not to wear it the rest of the year, and I think we said screw it, basically, right?
Basically, we decided to wear the hats to represent the police, firemen, and the commissioner's office. And Todd was our player rep and got a letter from the saying that we couldn't wear the hats, and we basically tell them to screw you, come down and take it off our heads, and we wound up wearing it the rest of the season.
I remember I got a letter from, I think the court office has lost 4 people, prominent memories, man. I got a letter from my wife, and she was so thrilled, yes, that she saw the court office represented on the field. And that was something you never forget, that kind of stuff, you know?
I was switching them out because, not to be totally exclusive to FDNY, but realizing after the positive comments that were made, really pointing to us wearing those hats.
Yeah.
They're at home and they're seeing, us not wearing Mets hats. And then what you just said, Jay, now the plethora of other agencies that wanted us to do the same thing.
Right.
So I remember on some of the starts, because, we could pick whatever, right? So somebody would give and they would have a sticker of, someone who was lost on it. And just to wear it was, I knew that was inspiring to somebody.
One thing I was proud of, when we went to Ground Zero 5, 6, 7 times, we never once went down there with cameras.
No.
We never once. It was all just to do the right thing, to do the right thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We never tried to get PR out of it or anything out of it. We just went down there.
Basically went down there to thank the firefighters.
That's right.
And all the rescue workers, to thank them for the job and the determination that they were just looking for one survivor. And just the determination on their face. Made our job easier because we're determined to win, but the look on their faces when they were down there and looking, and guys down there 24, 48, 72 hours and not wanting to go home, that meant a lot to us to go down there and see that.
Remember too about the truck, Bobby V, Bobby V, his best friend was a jumper, he killed himself, and he was kind of our leader, Bobby V spurred everybody on. We would practice in the morning, load the truck in the afternoon. The Chase Stadium was a recovery area.
Right.
And I think it was everybody, Vance Wilson, Joe McEwen, Armando Benitez, Alfonso, 25 guys loaded the truck. Nobody bitched about anything.
Well, that's a tribute to our team. We had a close team. Everybody got along with everybody. And we knew it was the right thing to do. We knew it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, there was no coaxing to go along. I mean, it was just, hey, this is what we're going to do after practice. And everybody's like, okay, we're here until we're done. Yeah.
So we had to be out there 3, 4, 5 hours. That's what we did.
Actually, and I don't know about you guys, but like you made it a point for it to not be gratuitous to us and the Mets and what we were doing out front. And I know talking to a few of the guys was like, we didn't want that. Like the last thing it was so important to really just be there for the families, for the guys, and just support. So to have, you know, all the media, like I felt like that was so wrong. And I know you did too.
Right.
Because you brought it up. And I think it also showed from where we were, as hallowed ground as it was, that we weren't doing it for, you know, something other than just wanting to be there.
Doing it for PR.
Yeah, no, that I actually don't like that.
I think some of the most, you know, I guess vivid memories that I have, or at least experiences I have, are going like to the Javits Center, to visiting, just sitting with families that were, you know, devastated. There was nothing except just us having an opportunity to sit there and talk and try to feel some of the pain and maybe talk baseball for a few minutes. I can totally remember a guy who was a career firefighter who had a son that was a firefighter and another son that was an NYPD, and they were both off when the towers were struck. They called each other and met at the base of the building. Both went up and perished. And it just, I'll just, you know, those are the kind of things that I just were so impactful at the time. Makes you want to continue to try to find a way to be involved.
Do you not remember when we went to Pittsburgh, the first when we played there? I think your birthday the 17th, right?
Yes.
There was a big, there were like 3,000 people signed the thing right in front of our locker room. Yeah. You know, do you remember that, the poster right in front of our locker room?
Yeah, I was telling a couple of firefighters, when we went back on the road to Pittsburgh, Atlanta, I mean, we got standing ovations, we were behind you, New York. You know, the whole country came together. It bonded everyone. And I think that's what was important to us, that not just New York, but the whole country was behind us and trying to help.
You know, Mike's home run was great, but the people don't, it was a great thing to really not see. But we did so much behind the scenes other than that, which that gets overlooked. But I think it's important, you know, the visits to Ground Zero, to the hospital, to the police station, to the fire station. To me, that's the most important stuff that we did as an organization. No? Right.
Well, absolutely. And it was easy to identify as to whether we were doing something that was right. It was because of the affirmation we got back from the people that were affected. It was so obvious of what we meant. Not just the Mets, but just people who were supportive of the people that were lost.
I do think that we probably all agree on this, is that the home run was kind of the exclamation point. It made that night feel like, okay, this is why we were here. This made it okay to come back, because I think a lot of us were still wondering, okay, is it the right time to come to the stadium? There's so much security. Are people going to show up? Is there, you know, all the things that were going through our heads? And then against our rivals, I think the sort of the spontaneous after the anthem when we walked across and met up with the Braves, who were our foes.
That hug was just, pretty good.
Yeah, and just recognize
that we hated the Braves.
This is something. This
they
is,
hated us.
They hated us.
That was real.
Even Chipper. Yeah, even Chipper.
Brace on the field was unbelievable.
But that, I remember Liza Minnelli doing the seventh in the New York, New York, and the place coming alive. And then Mike's home run was just kind of the exclamation point to make us all feel like, you know what, this was meant to be. This is why we were here.
And yeah. Steve Carsey, a Queens native, is nice enough to serve up the pitch.
To serve it up, yeah.
To serve
and Jason Marquis, too, right? Just
Jason Marquis
in New York.
We had all New York covered that night.
By the way, there was no serving up because he's still pissed to this day.
Yeah, he said on strike three. Like strike three on Mike. Remember, he thought that was a strike.
For me, what I still remember, the bus ride back from Pittsburgh. We stayed in a hotel. We were next to a federal building. We had to evacuate the building. We had a trip back, and remember, we were over the bridge. I mean, such a direction is bad. I think Utah said, look to the right, and there were no towers.
Yeah, we were coming across the GW, and it was the middle of the night, and I think we were having to be escorted across, and we were going slower. We came to a stop. I don't know what it was, but there was absolute dead silence on the bus as we looked down and just saw really there was lights because of what was going on, but the smoke, and we could smell it all the way uptown, and I just remember that. And then I know that there was guys that was a very emotional moment. You didn't even realize what it was going to be like until you're there looking down and the towers are gone. That was poignant.
And
sure.
There was silence all the way to the stadium.
It was crazy.
Nobody said nothing from the GW to the stadium. It was like, you know, a little chit chat, but nothing like it was. It was just, this is, you know, wow, well, we're seeing it firsthand.
Well, let me say this, guys. Again, I've been 42 years, All-Star Games, World Series. For me, this team is my highlight. If you put something on my gravestone, would be a member of the 2001 Mets baseball team. Because what we did is never going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
I think everybody, you know, the guys here helped the city heal, and I'm really proud to be a part of that.
Well, thank you.
We're happy that you keep this tradition going on, and hopefully it'll go on for another 20 years, 30 years. Like I said earlier, we put a small Band-Aid on a big wound the night that we played, but we'll never forget what happened, and I hope the current players and people in New York and the younger generations will never forget what the firefighters and the rescue workers did that day while they were running up, people were running out.
Right.
So it was great.
It's a different kind of thing being in a firehouse with seeing the uniforms behind and realizing what they had to do to run up and the heavy equipment. It's a special kind of person to be a fireman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, JJ.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm here with Mike Agello, Assistant Borough Chief of Manhattan. Mike, what does it mean to you when the Mets keep supporting the fire department they have through the years?
I'll tell you, 21 years later, to see you guys come out and continue to support the FDNY the way they do, the Mets do, other sports outfits do, it means so much to us as a department to continue to have your support.
I was fortunate enough to be with the Mets since a long time, and this is a special group of guys, the guys that are here today, you know, Todd Zeal, Al Leiter, and John Franco, and they get it, you know what I mean? They get what happened on 9/11, and they don't forget. I mean, I won some winning World Series with the Mets. For me, the highlight for me is working with this 2001 team who really got what it meant to what this was about.
Yeah, that meant a lot to all of us that year to see what went on. And like I said, the continued support from the Mets organization means a lot to the FDNY. It does. It helps us get through these tough times.
And you, at 9/11, you served in Brooklyn. What do you remember about that day?
Yeah, I was I had about 10 years on the job. I was a lieutenant assigned to Brooklyn. And it affected us as a department. Regardless of where you worked throughout the city on that day or the days after, you were at the site. That's just the way it was. It didn't matter where you were assigned. You were at the World Trade Center searching for our lost people.
Do you find through the years, let me say it in a nice way, that what makes me proud of my guys, our guys haven't forgotten. Do you find it is 21 years that it dulls some people a little bit? Man, I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm trying to say that.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and we can't change the history of what happened that day. And as senior firefighters and fire officers, we need to continually educate our young people, people that were sometimes in grammar school or even younger at that time, on the events of that day and the heroic efforts of our members, and keep that tradition, for lack of a better word, alive to learn from what happened that day.
This house, Engine 55, lost five people. Did the family still come back after all these years?
Yes, yes. Every year on 9/11, each firehouse that lost members, which was an abundance of them, have a different way of ceremoniously handling that day. Many times the loved ones like to come to the firehouse and be with the other rest of the crew. Other times they meet out. You know, it's one of those days where each unit that lost people have a little different way of going about it. I happen to, that morning, try to visit as many firehouses as I can each year that lost people. And many times I've seen the family members in those houses that day and were able to converse with them.
Mike, I appreciate your time. Watching the Mets will never forget. And I'm really blessed to be around a long group of guys who'll never forget.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Jack.
Thanks, man.